You're listening to Dimitri live and dangerously local on the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Download the River Network. I'm screwing around with the camera. Shut up. I'm screwing around with the camera on our Facebook live stream with my DeFelice brothers pizza thing here, cup, and I didn't realize we were coming back. I'm just an idiot. Honestly, no. The music's still playing? Yeah, it's still playing. Okay, it'll be over pretty soon. All right, there it is. It's over. Laura Wakeman Chapman, state senator, full disclosure, Dimitri 2020 LLC client, advertiser in this radio station, full transparency. We've reached out to Joe Eddy a number of times to have him come on the show, you know, in the same spirit of the fairness doctrine. Give him equal time. He ignores us, so I'm not going to ignore him. That's coming up in the next hour. Share this everywhere. Facebook live stream. You have to go to the River Talk Facebook page. River Talk Facebook page. And then share this, the Facebook live stream, with our very special in-studio guest, State Senator Laura Wakeman Chapman. And for those who don't know, really good news. Through her efforts and others, I'm sure, but certainly through her efforts, the West Virginia Department of Transportation Division of Highways has now opened that ramp right outside the Wheeling Tunnel, the East Portal. And so now you can swing around again and go into downtown Wheeling and off the 250 and all that stuff. So that ramp is now open. Thank you, Laura. Now work on fixing that tunnel, because that thing is an absolute and utter disgrace. Anyway, what is the big difference between you and Joe Eddy in terms of policy?
So I'm not afraid to stand up to the big hospital lobbying conglomerate, but he's endorsed by them. So some of the most pressing freedom issues in West Virginia is certificate of need and then the vaccines that we already talked about. So certificate of need is a permission slip from the government. So if you want to bring a hospital into West Virginia or any kind of medical practice, you have to get a permission slip from the government saying that there's a need for it and it's okay for you to come in.
You got to be kidding.
No. And other states don't have it. I mean, I think you can tell some of the local hospitals are kind of sprawling into Ohio and Pennsylvania.
Well, sure. That's where all the growth is for hospitals. Yes. You've got UPMC now taking over on the Ohio side. You've got that new hospital in St. Clairsville. Martins Ferry, I think, might be getting something as well. That's where all the growth is, because in Ohio, you don't have a certificate of need. You don't need the permission from the politicians and the bureaucrats to open a hospital to serve the needs of the people.
Right.
And this is absolutely amazing to me.
And it's very expensive to even go through the process. I mean, we're talking six figures.
Well, that's what they want.
Yes.
That's what they want, to discourage anyone to be competitors to the, you know, to the big, big medical here in West Virginia.
Right. So that's a huge issue. I mean, huge. That's why our healthcare costs are through the roof.
Yeah.
And
you gotta go to Ohio for these hospitals.
Right. And I actually had several bills to expand the scope of practice. So
what does that mean?
It means if you're a medical professional, if you're trained and you have education in different procedures, you're actually allowed to practice, because believe it or not, the legislature says what you can and can't do as a medical professional.
What?
Yes. You would think that, you know, a medical professional goes to medical school or whatever schooling that they do get, whether it's nursing school, and they know what they can and can't do. But no, the legislature comes in and tells them.
Wait a minute. So if I'm a nurse in West Virginia, I can't do nursing stuff unless some of it is approved by the politicians in Charleston?
Right. So that maybe not necessarily a nurse, but a medical. Yeah, depending. But the... it's even worse than that, because, again, these other professionals that are in the medical field. So say there was a big fight between the ophthalmologist and the optometrist. And there's always like it's a nice fight.
They're going eyeball to
eyeball. Eyeball to eyeball. And
I'm a wordsmith.
So we were able to pass it so that people could go see an optometrist for their training and practice on certain procedures, which again, the person has the choice. If you want to go to an optometrist, you can, or you can go to an ophthalmologist. Yeah. I mean, it's silly, but those are the type of things that I'm willing to fight for.
This is amazing that we even are having this discussion, because mm-hmm. other states, I don't get the impression, I don't know, but a lot of other states, especially the border states of West Virginia, we don't have that problem.
No, and it's even worse than that, though. So physician's assistants, medical professionals, they're not even allowed to own their own practice. So I've been trying to fight for that for years as well.
You can't have your own practice if you're a PA.
Correct.
But you can in Ohio or Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So they want the doctor to be over them, which, again, you have the choice to go to a physician assistant or a doctor. I mean, it should be up to the free market. But this is just astounding to me. I was the lead sponsor and passed and fought for the Pharmacist Prescribing Authority Act, where you can go to a pharmacy if you have like a low level minor disease like flu or COVID, get tested. And if you test positive, the pharmacist, who again, medical professional, can give you the drug to make you feel better.
Well, pharmacists are great. There's one at the CVS in St. Clairsville, lovely lady who's been very, very helpful. I look for her anytime I go up there. And other pharmacists, like at Sam's Club or Walmart or Respax, they've all been actually great. You're telling me on the West Virginia side, though, they can't do what now? If they diagnose me with, beriberi or, you know, whatever, some crazy disease, you know, leprosy, whatever it happens to be, they can't give me like a leprosy pill?
No, not. And even with that bill that did pass, they still can't. It's for minor self-limiting diseases. So it can't be for like, say, cancer or something like that. It has to be the flu, COVID, RSV, something that you would normally go to your doctor to get, you know, an antibiotic or some other.
Yeah. So you're trying to free the pharmacists so they can actually take care of patients.
Correct. Yes.
Why is this controversial in West Virginia?
I don't know. Well, with the healthcare, there's the federal regulations that are onerous, but we can do things on the state level, which I have pushed for. And again, we have an access problem to healthcare. We have a cost problem. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm sick, I have to wait probably a week to go see my doctor, or I have to go to the emergency room.
You're going to the wrong doctor. I got to tell you, you're going to the wrong. If I'm a doctor and you're my patient, I'm a doctor in West Virginia, and you're my patient, state Senator Laura Wakeham Chapman, I would do house calls.
Yeah.
The moment you called, I was like, oh, you know, Eloise got a runny nose. I'll be right over. You know, or Jackson, you know, scraped his knee. I'll be right over. You know, or Matt is, you know, whatever Matt does. I don't know. I'd do a house call for you. You're seeing the wrong doctor.
Right.
What's the doctor's name? Let me call him out.
No, it's okay. But yeah. It's an access issue. There's just not enough medical professionals. But because we are... Well, I was pushing for these freedom bills to try to get more doctors here. We've seen actually a lot of people have an interest in coming to West Virginia and staying here.
Yeah, but are these doctors some third world cesspool where they barely get through medical school and can't even speak English and they cook curry and, you know, whatever the hell they do? Is that what we're talking about here?
No, we're talking about people who mostly actually WVU trained or Marshall trained doctors. So they don't
Americans?
Yes, and they don't leave the state. They're able to stay and actually, you know, provide for their family and have a practice. So,
well, thank God for that at least. All right, good. Is one problem regarding not having enough doctors in West Virginia, is one problem that we have way, way too many really, really, really good trial lawyers?
No, actually, it's very difficult to sue a medical professional in West Virginia in early.
Well, wait a minute. That wasn't always the case.
It wasn't. In the early 2000s, they changed it. It's the medical, MPLA, Medical Professional Limit Legal Act. I don't know what MPL stands for right now, but...
trial lawyers didn't like that because they were making fortunes off, you know, medical malpractice. And a lot of these doctors were really bad. I mean, let's face it. They were just, you know, got the bottom of the barrel here.
Yeah. And so they put caps on... issues if you did have an issue, and you also have to get what's called a certificate of merit before you can even bring a case, meaning a doctor who practices 60% of his or her practice as the doctor at issue for the malpractice, they have to say, yes, this doctor messed up.
Wait a minute.
I know it's confusing. So if there's a doctor who is accused of malpractice before a plaintiff, the injured person, can even bring a case, they have to get a certificate of merit from another doctor who practices similar
in
medicine
that field.
In that field to say, yes, that doctor messed up.
All right. Now, does that work against the patients because doctors don't like to rat out fellow doctors?
Sometimes.
What's the solution for that?
Well, I mean, you can look at the MPLA and try to make it less onerous to the patient who is harmed, and maybe make it easier to find doctors, like maybe say that they don't actually have to be in that particular field. But that was a huge issue going to the puberty blocker bill.
Tell me about that, because that's one of my pet peeves. Yes. What these and hospitals, including children's hospitals all across the country, I've lost all respect for children's hospitals because they were involved in this whole transgender thing of mutilating and also sterilizing children for this transgender crap. And I lose my mind over this very quickly because I know your opponent in the general election, if you win the primary, the Sean Fluharty, who I actually like personally, like the guy.
Right.
But he was a big believer in sterilizing, mutilating children.
So, yes. And about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we passed what was called the Tacuba Amendment. I, of course, voted no. But what that amendment does is it allows for puberty blockers for children.
That's this doctor who is a undocumented Democrat pretending to be a Republican. And now bitching that he's got a campaign opponent who's actually bringing in, you know, some donations.
Yeah, and he's actually part of the reason why I have a primary opponent as well.
Really?
Yes. So he and my co-senator actually were sending out mailers against me.
Ryan Weld. And for Joe. Ryan,
yes.
Such a rhino.
Yeah.
I saw that with Scott Adams when Scott went against him and would have won had they not dumped a fortune to drag Ryan Weld across the finish line.
Right. But
it was sad.
But we rolled that back once we got more actual Republicans in the legislature. And I made sure, because I'm a lawyer, I do understand these things, that the doctors who are prescribing this are the patient is exempted from the MPLA. So they don't have to get a certificate of merit if they're harmed. And honestly, the hospital, you know, conglomerate freaked out about that because they know that they could get sued now by giving these hormone blockers to these children.
Well, good.
I agree. That's why.
Good.
But that was so important to keep in there, and luckily it was.
How many of these kids were mutilated and sterilized in West Virginia?
I couldn't tell you, but I will tell you.
There's got to be a record.
I'm sure there is, but I'm sitting in the health committee my first year. And there was a doctor, and I say that loosely, who comes on, and she is from a sex and gender clinic in a local hospital in West Virginia. And I said, how many patients do you have? She couldn't tell me. She couldn't tell me the youngest person that she's ever given puberty blockers to.
Oh, she could tell you.
Oh, she probably could.
Oh, I'm sure she could tell you.
But it's astounding to me that there was a whole clinic. So there's got to be more than one patient.
Follow the money. It's always the advice from Deep Throat, who ended up being the second in command with the FBI. Talk about the deep state. But the one good piece of advice, follow the money. Always follow the money. All right. So the big day tomorrow evening, the election. I wish you the best. You never know. You just never know.
Right.
I always give my guests the last word. I guess this will be the last time that we talk before the election. You better win because I want you back on the general so I can go after Sean Fluharty. Oh, I can't wait making my personal pinata. Boom, 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 boom. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I always give my guests the last word. State Senator Laura Wakin Chapman, 1st Senate District, Northern Panhandle, incumbent. My microphone is yours.
Thank you. I am a constitutional lawyer, and I fight for the Northern Panhandle every day down in Charleston. And I hope that I'm sent back there so I can continue to give the Northern Panhandle a voice. I have worked on everything from children's issues, including foster care and school security. I fight for, you know, lowering costs for people. I was the lead sponsor of a utility bill that would have a 1-year freeze so that we could find out why we have the highest bills in the nation when we have more energy under our feet than any other state in the nation. I want to fight for that in January. And, you know, it's just, you need somebody down there who isn't afraid to stand up to the bullies. And I am that person. I humbly ask for your vote. If you haven't voted already, tomorrow. And I look forward to continuing to represent the district. If you have any questions, please call me 304-280-2765. Again, 304-280-2765. That's my personal cell phone. I only have one cell phone. And yeah, I just humbly ask for your vote.
And if people want to follow you on Facebook and message you that way, can they do that too?
Sure. So my website is Laura, L-A-U-R-A, for F-O-R, W-V, .com, LauraForWV.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it's all Laura for WV, the same.
Right. And if they haven't voted yet, to vote tomorrow.
Yes.
I say even if you have voted, go back, see if you can vote a second time. Well, the way the election laws are these days, you never know. So it's Laura Wakeman Chapman. You're not endorsing that.
No.
You're a lawyer.
No, we're not. We don't live in California.
But if I could speak, you know, Somali or something, I would say that in Somali. Vote for her, but I don't speak Somali. All right, fine. You're a great guest. You're a lovely human being. Obviously, great parenting with Chris and especially Jeanette. And I wish you the best. I mean, you've done a great job, great campaign. Again, Joe Eddy, her opponent, I've reached out to him. I can't tell you how many times. We will address that in the next hour. If you like what you've heard, please share this everywhere. The Facebook live stream, River Talk Facebook page, the River Talk Facebook page.